Good morning. The saying goes, it said, if you want to be young, hang out with the young, and if you want to get old, try and keep up with them. I was trying yesterday for a little, and boy, am I ever sore. That's okay. Well, we're looking into the life of Daniel and see what lessons we could draw from this man's life. We've been looking at Daniel the last few times. The first one, we talked about Daniel being a man of purpose and how it is important for us to have purpose in our heart if we want to make it to the end. Eternal purpose, because we could have all the big purposes in our lives that is just empty. And someday it's going to prove, it's going to be shown that it's empty. It's going to burn up. And a man of purpose, we talked about a man of purpose would be a man of prayer. He will back it up with prayer. Man of eternal purpose, he backs it up with prayer because he leans hard upon the Lord. And today we want to talk about, see another quality in Daniel's life. He was a man of perception. He's a man of purpose, a man of prayer. He was a man of perception. He a man of wisdom, a man of discernment. Discernment is going to be the word I'm going to be using the most here today. Daniel was a man of perception. He purposed in his heart. He prayed. And God gave him spiritual discernment. Now Daniel, just a little backdrop again of Daniel's life. We don't know exactly what exact family Daniel came from. We could only, from what we get in Daniel chapter 1, he was of noble descent. And we could just mere speculate of what exactly this man, what kind of training he had growing up, as we look at his life to see how he lived out this life. While being away from home, he was taken away from home into captivity. Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar was the ruler of Babylon. And during the reign of Jehoiakim, he was the king of Judah. Nebuchadnezzar came down, seized Judah, and took away some of these children or these people into captivity. And Daniel was numbered amongst these men. And one of the striking things we picked up there first was in Daniel 1:8, where he said Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat. Simply, Daniel didn't want, as he lived in Babylon, he did not want to be partaking of Babylon. And the same, the analogy for us here today, living under the new covenant, as we live here in this world, not to be partaking of this world. And went on to see how he was a man of prayer. He was tested in this area. And it shows us here when he was faced with this decree that the men that tricked Darius into writing and keeping it just limited to he being the only one that they should worship for 30 days in a man of Daniel's caliber, 30 days without prayer, he might as well tell the sun stop shining. That wasn't Daniel. He was a man of prayer. He said, as he did before, he prayed. And as he moved amongst these people in Babylon, we see that Daniel was a man of spiritual discernment. Spirit excelled. Spirit was uppermost. Spirit was predominant. Spirit ruled him. Spirit drove him. Spirit controlled him. He did not let the flesh control him. Because Daniel knew, as his name says, God is my judge. God is judge. That's the name what the name Daniel means. God is judge, or God is my judge. And he knew someday he was going to stand before a God and give account. And so he patterned his life accordingly. And in order for you and I to do that, we need discernment, spiritual discernment, to make wise choices. As Daniel moved amongst these men in Babylon, one man suggested that it was more dangerous for Daniel to live amongst these men in Babylon than for the night he spent with the lions. This great empire, one of the greatest empire planet Earth had ever seen, was that of Nebuchadnezzar. Very powerful man. Daniel lived through the reign of four kings. God kept him. How? How was this man able to live away in captivity, away from Jerusalem, this place of worship, away from being in Judah, the people of God, amongst the condensed people of God, where he was day to day finding the encouragements he needed from others, from their life or testimony, and he was away from that in captivity. And how did he survive? How did this man made it? Striking story. It's fascinating because this happens approximately 600 years before Christ came. And how did Daniel make it? How did he do it? How did he pull this off? He was a man of purpose, a man of prayer, and God gave him spiritual discernment. He lived through the entire reign of the children being in captivity. 70 years. 70 years. We could only imagine the temptation and the difficult situation that this man Daniel faced as he lived in this very plush, high-end empire ruled by Nebuchadnezzar, and the position that Daniel had as he was down in Babylon also. How did he make it? Daniel had spiritual discernment that he received of the Lord, and he exercised it. He exercised it. What is discernment? What am I talking about when I say discernment? Well, discernment is the ability to distinguish between good and evil so that you're then able or capable of making a wise choice. You got that? Discernment is the ability to distinguish between good and evil. What feeds the flesh and what feeds the spirit. What's dark and what's light. What's going to drag me down or what's going to build me up. Discernment is just the mere ability to distinguish between those so you and I could make the wise choice. Which one? Which way? Which option? Yeah? We need the Spirit of the Lord to guide us, to give us direction. And if there's ever a time and an age we're living in where we need spiritual discernment, you know when it is? Today. It is today. So much things come after us. So much things comes before us. We are faced with so much options today that you and I need spiritual discernment in order to choose life and not choose death. Choose right and not make wrong choices. Daniel was a man of spiritual discernment. Oswald Chambers says, discernment is the power to interpret what we see and what we hear. It is the power to interpret rightly, put in that word there, rightly what we see and what we hear. That's called discernment. Discernment is the ability to see the hand of God in every circumstance and to understand His intentions through each of it, or through each one. I say that again. Discernment is the ability to see the hand of God in every circumstance and to understand His intentions through it. We cannot maybe understand the big picture, but we could understand His intentions through it. Every circumstance. And you know, Romans 8:28 gives us a glimpse of that. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. So the circumstance come our way, and we're then able to know this God's intentions for my life. We're able to discern God's intentions for my life is for good to come about through this. For me to be draw closer, when we go to Romans 8:29, that to draw closer, to be conformed, transformed more into this image of Christ. And so we know that's God's intentions. Right? Discernment is what gives you the ability to see when you're in the circumstance or the situation, God's intention for me is for good. He wants to take this situation and make good out of it. And those are just some a little bit there to give us a little understanding of what we're talking about when we say discernment. Discernment. We want to prove what is that good, perfect, an acceptable will of God. Romans 12 and verse 2 tells us that, right? Discernment. We need it. We want it. We desire it. You and I have it. Each one of us have it to a certain measure. But it tells us in Hebrews we need to exercise our senses. We need to exercise it in the right way. And the account there in 1 Kings, 1 Kings, look in 1 Kings chapter 3. This man, Solomon, he was there before the Lord. He was now being anointed, elected as the new king. And he was there before the Lord, and the Lord said, tell me, what do you want? What would you desire? What would you have me to give to you? If the Lord pops up at your doorstep today and would ask you such a question, what would be the first thing you come on your mind? You thought about it already? You dare voice it? Any of you dare voice it? That's okay. Listen to Solomon. The Lord asked him here in verse 5, 1 Kings 3, verse 5, ask what I shall give you. Hey, you think the Lord was then making a statement here that he couldn't even able to keep? No. Solomon, if you jump down in verse 9, he said, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people. Give me an understanding heart to judge thy people. Why? He said that I may discern between good and bad. So give me an understanding heart. That's what we want today. Give us an understanding heart, Lord, that we may discern between good and bad, right and wrong, light and darkness, life and death. Solomon was asking for discernment. This is one of the purposes of why we need spiritual discernment, to discern between good and bad. In Ezekiel 44:23, he said, God commanded the priests of Israel, said, teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. In Hebrews 5:14, I was mentioning that before, it tells us there that it was defining what mature believers are like. He said, are those who are able to, by reason of use or exercise, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So, what are we supposed to discern? Huh? What are we supposed to discern? Whether I wear a red shirt today or a brown one, or maybe a white pants or a black one. What are we supposed to discern? God gives us discernment, spiritual discernment, so we could discern between what is holy and what is profane, what is righteous and what is wicked, what is good, what is bad, light, darkness, holy, unholy. But he said we need to exercise it, we need to use it, in order that we might be able to discern between good and evil. And it increases through constant exercise. See, and it is important that we have spiritual discernment, so we could discern between these things. And as Daniel moved amongst these men in Babylon, they tried to trip him. They looked for errors where they could find fault in this man's life. Hey, we catch him at the workplace, you know? Let's catch him on the job. If four comrades or fellow co-workers would try to catch us at the workplace, would they be able to do it? They try to trip you, try to get you to stumble. Would they be able to do it? Many of us would testify they had. They had at times. Discern what kind of friend I choose to be amongst. Yeah? It is important. It is important. Well, he tells us that God hadn't called us. In 1 Thessalonians 4:7, it said, God had not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. And Romans 6:19 said, as ye yield your members as servants in the past to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members as servants to righteousness unto holiness. So how do you know it? How do I know what is right? How do I know what is the better way to go? Spiritual discernment. It's a gift from God. You need it from Him to be able to then discern which is the way I should walk, which is the way I should go. The purpose of that is so we could live a life that is pleasing to God, so that we could live a life that we have His stamp and His approval upon our hearts and lives. This is why we want spiritual discernment. Spiritual discernment because we don't want to die spiritually. Being separated from God, we got to know. Know what's going to hinder us, what's going to shackle us and encumber us and weigh us down and surround us and drown us. We need to be able to discern what those things are and not spend all your life trying to discern what those things are. Hey, okay, this is going to shackle me, this is going to encumber me, this is going to surround me, this is going to drown me, this is going to hinder me, this is going to weigh me down. But also you need to discern what is that right and good and perfect and acceptable will of God. We need to discern what God wants from me. What is His purpose for my life? Discern that. Find out what that is. Hey, you think He doesn't want you to know? He wants you and I to know. And then we're able to walk in that way. Why? To please Him. To please Him. With such purpose, we want to discern the things that's going to give us power, going to be able to let us grow up in Him. We go out there, we don't just pick up any kind of food and put it in our mouth, right? I hope we are not like that. We discern, well, what is good for me? And sometimes we have some of the little bit of what it might not necessarily be all that good for me in an excess. But I could take a little bit of it now, right? And we watch out for things we put down our mouth, right? We're like, what's going to build me up? What's going to give me strength? Make me able to live out the life in a physical way I'm talking about. And the same sense in the spiritual part of it or aspect of it, we want to be able to discern also. Psalms 32. In Psalms 32, verse 9, listen to this. It said, "Be not as the horse or as the mule, stubborn, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto you." It say here, be not this way. Don't go the way, the bit and bridle way. Well, I had bit and bridle. I had to put bit and bridle in my younger days to help keep me. I kind of smile at it, but sometimes I think back on it, and I'm thankful for some of those bit and bridle that I felt my mom put inside of my life and some other older brothers that try to come alongside me to help me, right? Because, sometimes we simply don't have understanding. God doesn't want us to live that bit and bridle lifestyle. Don't go there, go here. Don't read this kind of literature, read that kind of literature. Don't listen to this kind of music, listen to this kind of music. You know, and the bit and bridle where people have to come behind us and check, 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 check. You know, try put us in place. For us, don't have that kind of attitude. Have this kind of attitude. Right? Don't allow that kind of thing in your heart. Think on what is true, lovely, just, pure. Think on these things. And many times when we're young, someone has to come along in our life and get us going with the bit and bridle because they want it for the sake of our soul. But that's a low level of living. God would want us to have the higher level. It tells us that in Ephesians 5, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, "Wherefore be ye not unwise." Maybe I back up there a bit. Let me back up and pick it up from verse 14. Ephesians 5, 14. I hardly hear your Bible pages turning this morning. "So wherefore he said, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. See then that he walks circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the evil days are evil." Verse 17 was what I was after. "Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." So he's saying back here in Psalms 32, don't be like the horse and mule, this bit and bridle lifestyle. Don't live your life so shallow and so reckless that others have to come along and try and put bit and bridle on you to get you going on the right path, going on the right way, because they have a concern for your soul, your spiritual well-being. He said, no, don't live that lower lifestyle. But be wise, understanding what the will of the Lord is, to be able to discern what is God's will for me. To be able to discern the practical things in life also. Those things we hold inside of our heart or attitude. Discern what kind of attitude I'm supposed to have. And the scripture tells us some of those things clearly, right? When it comes down to more practical things, practical living a life, that's where we tend to sometimes find ourselves like, huh, this seems a bit grayer. It's this, well, I'm not sure if I should do this, or hey, if it's gray for you, then be careful, right? Be careful. Have spiritual discernment to discern what's going to build you up. Things that's going to feed your flesh. Hey, you ever wonder why when you're faced with certain temptation, it feels like you just buckle right under? You just, and you're right down in it. Why can't I stand to it? Well, the Bible tells you, feed the Spirit in Romans. You got to feed the Spirit. The flesh comes along and let me in. He said, let me in, let me in. And I, what for? Hey, let me in and then we're going to look at this kind of stuff. Or let me in and we're going to watch this kind of stuff. Hey, let me in and then we're going to fix this person that we're upset with or something, right? The flesh comes along like that. And let me in, let me in. I fix this co-worker. Put him in his place. And we say, come in. And then you go over to the co-worker and say, co-worker or your worker, whatever. And you say something that you shouldn't say. Or a brother and a sister in the church. You say something you shouldn't say. Right? It's the flesh that comes and knocks there. He wants you to crack that door and let him in. He comes in like a giant. He takes you over there and you do something that you're not supposed to do. Well, later on when you're finished with it, you realize I had sinned. And then you're like, how come I couldn't stand? That's the flesh coming along, right? He comes and he knocks on your door. Have this kind of attitude. You have it, you let it in, you have that attitude, you chew on it, you build up, and when you're finished, when it's all done, you've won the fight, whether it's an internal, verbal fight you're having against someone, or audibly fighting with someone with words. And no. You got to discern these things. If I continue to feed it, it will just grow more like a giant in my life and I won't be able to overcome. So when the flesh comes along and he says, let me in, right? Whatever that might be, to feed the flesh, you say, no. No. Yes. By God's grace, right? You got to lean hard upon Jesus. We're no match for evil on a one-on-one. And you feed the Spirit where it's like, okay, so the co-worker treats me this kind of way. And the flesh said, fix him right now. And so he never do that again. He would never come out of his place again. And you're like, yeah. You want to give in to the flesh? No, you feed the Spirit. You said, what does the Word of God says to that? I return good for evil. I heap coals of fire on his head or her head. And you feed the Spirit. And you find that then in those areas, you find yourself more and more, you're exercising, right? So then you have the muscle to resist the next time. You know? Somebody say something, the tongue gets slipping away from you. My dad said the tongue slipped because it's in wet places, he said. Right? You want to hold your tongue. You lean upon the Lord to help you, right? You want to discern. The point I'm trying to bring out here is you want to be able to discern what are the things that are feeding my flesh, the things that feeds my spirit. Soulish Christianity, there's so much of it out there today. So much, I have to guard myself from it time and time again. And give you an example is a soulish Christianity. You listen to some song, right? The lyrics, the music, you love it, right? And it stirs your emotions. And it might even make you have a teardrop or two. I'm moved by this. You know what happened? Your will didn't even get broken. You walk out from there, and just as soon as you receive that high, as quick as you receive that high, so that high left you. It left you. And then you wonder, how come I was just there at that concert or that conference or wherever you were? How come right as I drive my car, hey, I'm telling you, right? And I'm listening to some good singing, and I'm like, yes, 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 yes. And then close the door, and you walk in the workplace, and the guy goes, what's up with you, Dwight? And he says something, you know, in a derogative way, and boom, the flesh kicks in, and none of your will got broken there in the car. What you were listening to. You listen to a sermon sometimes and you say, man, that was powerful. And you wonder, why is it not really making an effect in my life? Why isn't it really crossing this line where it's actually making a transformation in my life? It just gives me a high for that moment. You know, it's soulish Christianity. God would have us. And that's why he said too in Matthew 7, not everyone that said, Lord, Lord, shall enter, but he that doeth my will, right? His will is after you hear it, you receive it. You've been challenged by it. You've been blessed by it. It's after you've been stirred by it. You then go out and live it. That's his will, right? Now, I'm not saying then I don't listen to some teaching or preaching, or I don't listen to some beautiful singing, music. No, I'm not saying that, but don't let it stop there, right? Too many times, it stops right there. We get that quick fix, that quick high, and that's it. No power later on. No power to stand. You got to discern between these things. There's so much of it going on out there today. I find it in my own life. I got to, hey, do I? I'm not saying then I don't, next time I hear something that moves my spirit, I don't cry. No, go ahead, cry. But hey, ask the Spirit of God to come in to feed my spirit, that God wants to break your will. That's the hard part, right? So that thing comes in your mind, gets to your heart, stirs your emotion. Many times that's right where we let it stop. God would want to come past that emotion, break your will. Maybe not like that, but he wants to break your will. That if you and I come to a place where we say, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. We realize the work of God, the things I listen to, the things I look at, the things I do are really making a transformation in my life. In what way? In drawing me closer to God, in drawing me up to Him, building up a relationship in Him where I find myself growing in Him. I'm developing muscles, spiritual muscle. And we want to discern between these things as we live this life. As we live this life. And Jesus said, not everyone that say, Lord, the one man, I like how one man put it. He said, you know, we go, Lord, with the mouth. And then nobody would just go, Lord, Lord, without the emotions being stirred, right? But you got to go past that, right? Not just the one Lord or the two Lord. The one Lord is us with the lips. The two Lord is the lips and the emotions. But go past that where it hits your will. Your will get broken. Where it's, Lord, it's not my will. Your will be done. We want to get past that mark where, hey, whatever I'm receiving, I'm getting in, I'm feeling blessed with, I'm feeling stirred about, it becomes a part of my life. It becomes a part of my life. This is why we need discernment. You got to discern those things. It tells us in 1 John chapter 4, I believe it is, in verse 1, said, Beloved, try the spirits, every spirit, for whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Let's read that again. He said, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Beloved, you come here this morning, try the spirit. What you're hearing here this morning, is it of God? He said, many false prophets are gone out into the world. But in order for you and I to be able to rightly, precisely, and more accurately discern the spirits, whether they're of God, you and I need the Spirit of God first in our hearts, in our lives, in our own bosom. Because whatever you might be using to do your discerning might be faulty. You got that? And so you and I need the Spirit of God within us to then be able to look out and discern rightly. Many times you have also another aspect of discernment. Discernment versus judgment. You have people that would, and we got to guard our heart in this area, where you're able to discern something, you feel like, okay, so you have the ability to discern it, so then you could judge it. No. Be careful. Be careful. God gives you the ability to spiritually discern something. You be careful how you use it on others. First and foremost, use the mirror as much as you could. Discern the things in your own life. Where am I? Is this one day you're going to stand before God and give account of yourself, right? And one who discerns examines his own life. Examines his own life. One who judges sees faults in others and excuses some of those same things in his or her own life. One who discerns checks out the facts, right? What's the facts on this issue, on this situation, on this that I'm hearing, if he or she is involved in it or should be involved in it? What is the facts? One who discerns, he checks out all the facts as much as possible about the situation. One who judges, he forms opinions and then look for supporting evidence. That's you. Form opinion about the situation. Hey, you don't even know about the situation. Why you sit there and form opinion about it? Then after you form your opinion about it, you download it and process it, so it's already in there. You have your preconceived idea about it, and so then you're just looking, and you're looking for evidence to support this opinion that you're formed. It's judging. One that is judgmental. Observation becomes judgment when there is no desire in your heart to provide a loving solution. Observation becomes judging, and there's no desire in your heart to provide, to offer a loving solution. So you look, I wonder what they're doing there. Oh, yeah, I see. Yes. You have no desire to provide a loving solution for the situation. You look at a couple. You look at the young people. You look at the preachers. You look at the neighbors. You look at the co-workers. And there's no desire in your heart to offer a loving solution. You're just observing. All of this come in the context of discerning, right? This works right in there. God gives you the ability to spiritually discern. I'm not saying then you can't go help someone, but offer a loving solution when you want to go out there to help someone. You offer a loving solution. And I'm saying you discern the things in your life, that I'm not then just taking away that you can't go to your brother and sister to help them out with something, but go with a loving solution. Go with a loving solution, not a condemning, judgmental, barking over the head type thing, because I know how to discern. There's a danger in that. And we all have to guard our hearts on that. No exception. Got to guard your heart on that. And sometimes, hey, you could be rightly discerning the thing. You could, what you're discerning, perhaps, is accurate and precisely right. I discern this thing, and I see this, and you could foretell what's going to happen because the discernment. Don't abuse these gifts that God gives to you, right? This is one I believe He would all have us to have to a certain measure. Spiritual discernment, to discern what's going to build me up or what's going to drag me down. What's going to encumber me and shackle me and pull me down, or what's going to free me to run well? So we talk about that. We talk about different things here. How do we gain this discernment? How do we gain it? How do we get this discernment? And I like it there in 1 Kings there again, where Solomon told the Lord there. I like how he worded there in 1 Kings. He said, I think part of the answer is in here. There's other places too we could look at, and we might look at. But he said, give thy servant an understanding heart. Key word there, an understanding heart. You need to be able to understand and interpret rightly what you're seeing or hearing, right? Give thy servant an understanding heart. It's in other words, it's a hearing heart that I could hear right. He said, who that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit say. Jesus said that various times after preaching a sermon or speaking on a subject. We find that in Revelations where he's speaking to the churches there. He that hath ear to hear, he said, let him hear what the Spirit say. Having a hearing heart. So we want to ask God to give us a hearing heart. Give us a heart that we're able to hear what His Spirit is saying. And how do we hear what His Spirit is saying? In what areas do we hear? Your conscience. The voice of your conscience. The voice of your conscience. But you cannot just base it alone, just alone on the voice of your conscience, right? That must be backed up with God's Word and with the confirming of the Spirit, or the Spirit of God moving. So it's your conscience, the word of the Scripture, and the prompting of the Holy Spirit. That's how you're then able to discern things rightly. To have a hearing heart. Voice of the conscience, the word of Scripture, God's word, the Bible, and the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And that's what happened here, and God gave it to Solomon. And as much as how wise this man was, we went on to see how he later on made some wrong decisions, right? Solomon made some wrong choices. Now you and I, many times we might, it's not necessarily that we don't know how to discern something, but it's that after we've discerned it, we just couldn't care less with the choice we make about it. You got me on that one? You've been there? I've been there before. Don't leave me up here alone. We've been able to discern something. Right? All right. This is going to feed my flesh. And this is going to feed my spirit. We discern it already. And we're like, give the flesh a little break now, man, you know? And so we give in to that. We do it, watch it, or say it, or act it, whatever it is. Solomon did the same. But is that God's will for our lives? No. That's not His will for our life. His will for our life is to discern rightly. So we're able to judge and make right choices in life. So this is one of the ways how we gain this discernment. And in James 1, 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that give it to all men liberally, and upbraid it not, he said, and it shall be given him. So, hey, where's the source? How do we gain it? Where do we get it? Have a hearing heart, desiring it, looking to God. He provides it. He gives it to us, and then we exercise ourselves in it, as Hebrews 5 says. And I also in Romans 12, we know those verses. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2 said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that he may prove. You might be able to discern. You might be able to understand. You might be able to see what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. As you present yourself to Him as a living sacrifice, as you seek not to be conformed to this world, but be conformed to Christ, You know, when God brings truth along to us and He shows us truth, one of those scary verses in the Bible, you find 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians 10 and 11. It said, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. As you're discerning, young men, young women, brother, sister, grandpa, grandma, who all is here today, as you're discerning, you discern things and God shows you what truth is. Because He tells us in John 14 and in John 16, the Spirit is going to come and He's going to lead you into truths. The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, is going to come. And as you and I, as God reveals to us what the truth is, what is His perfect will, what way He would have us to go, what choice He would have us to make, as He gives us that discernment, that ability, that gift to do so, make the right choices. He said, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Verse 11, this is the verse here. For this cause, God Himself gave them. He said He shall send them strong delusion. Deception. Strong deception. That they should believe a lie. Now, can you imagine that? Like, I read a verse like that and I'm like, okay, I back up. I chew on it. I'm like, God sending strong delusion, God allowing deception to come my way, God allowing me to get derailed and go off wrong, or, well, perhaps I'm derailed already in the first place because I'm not accepting the truth that I might be saved. Said that you would believe a lie. You would believe a lie? You're going to think, oh, no, I'm not capable of believing a lie. Not in the spiritual sense. Yes. If you and I do not accept truth when God brings it to us and shows it to us, this is truth, my son. This is truth, my daughter. You are playing a very, very, it's a very scary thing. Because God Himself going to send you strong delusion, cloudiness. Next thing you know, you believe a lie. Hey, you believe a lie? You know what that is? And there's not much hope for you then. There's not much hope for you. This is coming from God Himself. So let's embrace truth. Discern what truth is, reality is, who Christ is, and embrace that. Daniel, as he lived down in Babylon, he was a man of spiritual perception. He was able to see, hey, I won't give my life just for the time, for pleasure and fulfillment of my flesh, but I give my life to God. I give my life to God first and foremost, because I don't want to lose my soul in the end. I won't just give myself to whatever you put in there, whatever the Spirit puts on your heart. I won't just give my life for, I give my life for God. And Daniel stood, he stood firm. And he lived through the reign of four kings. And hey, he made such right choices as he lived down there in Babylon. He had a government work too, by the way, if you didn't know. He worked for the government, works in the government office. And he was able to discern what the will of the Lord was in living day to day down in Babylon, that these men couldn't even point a finger on him and say, ah, see here, he's slipping up in this area. They had to take the very thing the man believed and hold dearly and see how they could make him stumble in something that they knew he was going to stand for. As he discerned, hey, God is my judge. I'm going to be accountable to Him someday. I'm going to have to stand before Him and give account of the choices I've made in life. If you make wrong choices, it has ripples, it has effects. So let's encourage each other today to make wise choices and ask God to give us spiritual discernment, that we could discern what is authentic Christianity. What is choices I make that brings His approval to my life. And He pours out His power and you're able to live it. Yes, Lord. I trust, Lord, this is all of our desire here this morning, God. And as we look at this man living under the old covenant, Lord, many, many years ago, and how he was able to discern. It was a man of perception as he walked among these people in captivity, Lord. And we desire it, Lord. We desire it today. We desire it for the rest of our life, Lord, here on planet Earth, that we could prove, we could make right decision, Lord, what is acceptable in your perfect will, God. And I lift up my brothers and sisters in prayer. And Lord, may you give us a hearing heart this morning, Lord, what the Spirit has to say to the church. Amen.